The danger is that you're going to get a regurgitated version of the same slop that's out there in the culture, which is husbands and wives are interchangeable. There's no defined roles. You can do what you want. And I'm here to tell you that it's like pouring water into a gasoline engine. You will destroy it if you don't honor the design of the Creator. That's why we made this study, so you can know what His design is, and you can walk in ways that end in success.
Hi, I'm Steve. For nearly 30 years, I've been a pastor and disciple maker, and what I really love doing is helping guys be better followers of Christ and better leaders at home.
I'm Mark, a certified financial planner with an MBA and an Ivy League degree who wants to make sure you're making the smartest money decisions possible.
And this is Abraham's Wallet. Join us weekly and create a culture in your family of multi-generational prosperity, spiritually, relationally, physically, intellectually, and financially. Run your home, your dough, like a biblical boss.
Is it golf weather out where you are now?
Where today it is, man.
Late February.
And I told you this earlier today, but I had to throw a pair of jeans on today because I have a personal moral that says never swing a golf club while wearing jeans. And I thought, It's such nice weather that I'm going to be tempted to go swing golf clubs instead of working. And that's not possible. I've got a lot to do. So I used pants to constrain me and make sure that I could have a good Shabbat and I had done what I needed to do today.
One of the many uses of pants, I suppose, is that it can keep one from playing golf. I did not know that. So there's no snow on the ground there?
It's 54 and sunny right now. Now, wow. I do have one little piece of news. I don't want to jinx us, but I want to share it. Okay. I've talked a lot about vacation home ownership. We are under contract to sell the vacation home. Weekends number one of listing it for sale. We had multiple offers at full price for the home. So I'm
hallelujah,
cautiously optimistic that that will sell. And I had to reach out to my buddy who's parked his boat under the carport there and said, we're going to have to figure this out because it's a very good chance this home will be sold before the 20-foot wall of snow in front of your boat melts. So we're going to have to get a guy with a tractor to come out so we can pull that boat out of the way. But
hallelujah. That's great, buddy.
Yeah, I'm excited. And as I was up there just getting it ready for sale, I thought, this house is nice and I love this view and I won't be sad. I was up there by chance. I looked and I noticed the water heater was about 2 millimeters from overflowing the pan because it had gone bad.
Oh, dear.
And I thought, if I hadn't been up here today, if I had come tomorrow, I would have a basement full of water. And I won't be sad about not having the liabilities of a vacation home.
Yeah.
Somewhere
that was
where
a serendipity. That was an unexpected blessing, serendipity.
From the Lord. Yeah. So thought
excellent.
I'd update the people. The moral of the story is, buy yourself multi-generational homes and vacation homes and things like that, but maybe don't do it when you have to get income from them and there's a question of whether that will be possible.
Okay, good tips. All right, now, today, there's a very exciting little thing that we are giving to our people. It is a gift. We're just giving it away. Actually, our wonderful donors who sponsor this podcast and keep us going, they are really giving this away to you, which is a study. And I'd like to talk for a second about one, how it came about, and then the value of kind of making these things part of the rhythm of your marriage. So the first thing I want to throw out is that when I was first married, my wife and I were in a very vulnerable and open Bible study group that we were in for several years. And this is the group we've mentioned before where we would get together and put all of our budget in front of each other and let each other actually look at the numbers of our lives, which we thought was really challenging and also really healthy with people that you trust. But I wanted us all to just study the biblical concept of what marriage is. What are we trying to do here? What's our goal? And I had such a difficult time finding study material that would just tell me not how to make my marriage successful, how to make it less painful, how to have it make my wife act the way that I want her to act or whatever. Just tell me what the Bible says about what God wants out of this thing. And so we just started doing research on our own and pulling out passages from Song of Songs, from Ephesians. There's windows of successful marriages in the scripture. Paul has a lot to say about marriage, etc. And we just started bringing it together and then working through it together. So I started compiling all this stuff. And then as my sort of pastoral career goes on, I find myself performing a lot of weddings as a pastor. And I'm thinking, I want these young couples to understand what we learned early on. And so I tried to shape up a little bit into a little more workable, usable, friendly document, this study that we had done, which we called, with not maximum creativity, The Bride and the Groom. So here we are now. We're Abe's Wallet. We're very excited about all of the families that we're connected to. It is our pleasure to inspire and equip biblical bosses running their homes. And I think it's time to roll out the Bride and the Groom study to our people. And so we've kind of professionalized the whole thing. We've gotten to a really nice shape. We have a fantastic designer who's made it into this lovely format.
And how did we end up able to find a designer that was willing to do this? Did we pay that person?
Of course.
And where would a podcast like Abraham's Wallet have gotten funds to pay a designer to produce something that we were going to hand out for free to people?
Great question. I guess the same place that we found the funds to, I don't know, get these silly microphones and lighting and cameras, et cetera, for a podcast that charges $0 for people to consume it by the thousands.
And our new producer and editor, who's already doing awesome, so hallelujah. But yeah,
that's true.
Just a very quick thank you to those who have supported the podcast. You make things like this possible. So
yes,
just wanted to acknowledge that.
Yes. And I'll just say, we have new donors that come on board every month. Boy, are we grateful to that crew. And it's never the wrong time for you to start helping support us, to the tune of, we ask for a cup of coffee a month. You can go to abrahamswallet.com/donate and become one of our supporters. Boy, we'd appreciate it. And there's a handful of people that give well over that amount as well. So
I know you weren't planning on a plug there, but every time I see things like this, I go, wow, we got to pay somebody to do really good work because people support the pod. So thanks to the supporters. Continue on, though.
Well, I have found in all of my years of, again, pastoral work, working with couples, you know, I see couples when they want to get married and they'll give me as much time as I tell them that they have to give me because they really want to get married and they know their ignorance and they're looking for help. Well, that's a great window into a couple's life. The other time I see couples after that moment is when they're in trouble. People don't say, hey, we think we're doing great. Could we get some time with you? People don't do that. They come when there's trouble. We don't know what the problem is here. Would you kind of rake through our issues and see what you think? So I really only get access to couples when all the lights are on in the dashboard and they haven't figured out what's going on and they're at a loss and really feel like they're in crisis and need help. What I can just strongly recommend, I mean, we're going way back into like foundations of home building here, but what I can strongly recommend to any husband is that outside of your relationship with God Himself, there is no more important relationship in your life than your relationship with your wife. The husband-wife bond, it is the foundation of a home. Everything hinges on the strength of that relationship. And we are so stupid and so foolhardy when we think, I don't know, the court says we're married. I got a certificate. What more do you want? You can't get more married. We're done. You're not done. You have just started. And marriage is a race that's supposed to last you know, 75 years, let's say at least 50. And it takes some study. It takes some skill. You're going to have to develop as a person. Your skills are going to have to develop. You should give yourself to the study of your marriage and to see it as an undertaking of yours that you're going to have to grow in for the rest of your life. So we have said before, where there is an opportunity to enrich your marriage, do it. If you have to farm out the kids to an aunt for the weekend so that you can go away and do a summit with your bride, do it. If there is trouble in intimacy, deal with it.
That's right. It's not a self-maintaining field where, you know, if you set it up just right, a lot of times I see two kids with the best of intentions and they love Jesus. And I'm like, great, you guys have an awesome foundation. If they just get married and then drift along and assume it's on autopilot from then, it's not going to look like a very healthy farm in 5 years. There's going to be, at best, lots of weeds and
yes.
Foxes, little foxes will have come into the field to steal from Song of Solomon. But yeah, so work is required. I was telling my daughters this the other day because they were like, you and mom, you just love each other. I'm like, yes, and work is required. So you guys are going to get married someday and you're going to have to work so hard to have a healthy marriage.
Yeah, I want to give you a little preview. And then there's a couple of assumptions that we have going in. One is this simple idea that God is the author, and so he gets to decide how everything works. I hope that is immediately obvious to you when I say it, that the inventor, the creator of anything, is the one that knows how it works. We've been fussing with the little phone watch that we got for my daughter. It's acting strange. Well, what do? I've walked through everything that I can find. I go to the company and go, how did you design this to work? How do I do a hard reset, et cetera? And they go, oh, that because you're doing it the wrong way. You got to do it this way. You walk through these steps. The designer and creator is the one that knows how something is supposed to be used and knows how it works best. So if you believe that God is the creator of humanity, most people do, then you would also believe that he alone knows what things are and how they actually work. So God alone would be able to tell us, what is a human being? What are they for? Are we equal to a dog? Who knows that? Who knows the answer to that question? Not a sociologist, not a biologist. God knows the answer to that question. And whoever he has given, you know, whoever takes his word seriously knows, are we equal to an animal? What's our purpose? What should my life be about? What is my purpose? What are we designed for? God alone would know that. What is sex for? Is it a place to explore whatever fantasy I can come up with? Is it a way to pursue my own pleasure on any given day or hour? Is there another meaning to it? Is there another purpose for it? If there is, I would be misusing it if I didn't understand what God's intentions were. Of course, he would be the one that could tell us, what is marriage? How did he make it? How does it work best? He's also the one that could tell us, what is a family? What are your purposes for family? Do we get to reinvent this as we go? Do you have some specific ideas? So marriage specifically is something that he alone can define, give parameters to, and give meaning to. He alone. Now, we can go back after the fact, after it's been created, and we can bastardize it, and we can try to reinvent it. You can try to use a guitar as a canoe paddle if you want to, and that might work, might seemingly work for a moment, but you're going to ruin the guitar. Marriage was God's invention. Remember this little moment, Genesis 2:22, the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. And God performs this little wedding ceremony here between the two of them. And that verse is repeated in talking about marriage for the rest of time. It should be repeated for the rest of time. It should be repeated at every wedding. Why? Because we're going back to the Creator's intention for marriage. That's how it was designed to work. And that's how it works best. So He has the right to tell us what this thing is. And that really is point one, is that we have to submit to His dictates, even before we know what they are, that we would have the humility to say, whatever you say is going to be the right way to do this. And I submit to you as the owner and the creator. Otherwise, we're going to get into all kind of arguments about what we think is right, what somebody else thinks is right. Really, what we mean when we get into these arguments is what my desire is. And my desire trumps your desire. Instead of all being in submission, going, there's a creator and His dictates are right. So that's the first kind of idea behind the entire study, is that we want to know what the creator has to say. Thoughts?
What do you think? As even those of us who read our Bibles, we've grown up with a biblical worldview around marriage as much as we can understand what that means. What do you think is the most shocking thing God has to say that might be counter to the mainstream Christian way of thinking about this?
Well, I think that there is an aha moment for both men and women. Maybe not new information, stuff that we've talked about before, but I think that when a man has sort of heard secondhand, he's sort of heard it in the waters of Christian culture, that a man is to lay down his life for his wife. I think there is a pop Christian assumption that the man is to effectively subvert himself to his wife and be a doormat for her, that that's what laying down your life would be. And as we investigate closer how marriage works and how God designed it to work, we see that that is not the case, that God expects men to man up in a initiating leadership way that is strategic, that's bold, that isn't timid, that's not looking for affirmation outside, but certainly has care involved in it, but isn't a sort of mealy mouth begging for affirmation kind of a way. That's the first thing. And the second thing, this also won't be a shock, is that I think when we actually look at the text, women are, I don't want to say horrified, I think that they are stunned. Like, oh, I need to process that for a minute. When they see how repeatedly and how strongly the Bible talks about the way that they are to help their husbands. And I prefer that as the sort of overriding thing, because that's why Eve was made to help him. Some people really like to land on the submit to him thing, as if we're talking about a slave and master relationship, which is inappropriate and it isn't accurate. But the helper thing, that is accurate, and it's said very strongly in the scripture. And every time that this is reviewed with somebody, we will always hear, but what if a woman is a leader? And basically what we hear is, what if she doesn't like that? What if she doesn't want to do that? She doesn't want to help anybody. And I would say that for both sides of the argument, we're dealing with selfishness and we're dealing with our fleshly tendencies. A man's fleshly tendency is often, I want to be passive. I don't want to lead. And a woman's fleshly tendency is often, I do want to lead. I think I'd be great at it. So I think both of those are kind of ahas that happen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Another background idea is, and this might sound really basic, but it was groundbreaking for me to understand it. And it's this idea that God's relationship with His bride, the church, is actually the primary truth. It's not husband and wife that's the primary truth, because the way that I came to the Bible is the way most people come to the Bible. Well, I've got a marriage. Could I get some tips here? Could somebody give me some helpful information? So I go to the scripture. Now, how could we shape it up a little bit? I mean, I could make an adjustment here and there. Okay, good to know. That's not really the way the Bible talks about marriage. The way that the scripture talks about marriage mostly is that we learn what God's relationship is like to his people. And there's not a teaching on marriage per se until we get well into the New Testament that's like explicitly, let's tell you how to do this thing. But we have missed that, like, it's been 40 books worth of information that's talked to us about God's relationship with his people. So there's a verse, for instance, in Isaiah where God says, your maker is your husband. The Lord is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth, he is called. God calls himself the husband of Israel. Now, I don't know if that was as stunning to them as it is to me to hear that. Wait, what? But he sets up this relationship. We've all heard of the wedding feast of the Lamb that's going to happen like way out in the book of Revelation toward the end of the end of the end of the story. Oh, there's going to be a wedding feast. And who's the wedding with? Well, it's the Lamb of God, Jesus, and he's going to be married to who? Us, to his people. And God's been using that kind of language all the way back in Scripture. And he's been talking about this picture, God and his bride, God and his bride, God and his bride. And then we get to like Steve, you know, Steve here, and he's married to his wife, Dora. And the two of them, what are we doing? Well, we are going to live out a metaphor that expresses the truth of God's relationship with his people. We're not the primary story. We are a secondary story that is making reference to the larger story of God and his people. So if that's the case, and your marriage that you're trying to pursue, we want it to be successful, we want it to please God, etc., the best thing that you could do for your marriage is to understand God's relationship with his people, which is the primary story. You're living out a little metaphor that's based on that story. So that's a big concept for people to get their mind around. And to me, it's one of the foundational beliefs for the whole study that we wrote, because it's how the study works. You cannot grow up in what you're doing with your husband or wife unless you grow up in understanding how God is with his people. The point is that marriage was created by God to give us a live-in metaphor for his relationship with us. That's the whole guts of the idea behind the study. And the study works like this. I know that we already have groups that are going through this because we gave this at the end of the year to our donors. And there are people going through this study and we're getting good feedback from people. But here's how it works. There's like 10 lessons. And each lesson, there's a topic introduced. So the first week's topic is it is profound, doesn't sound like a great brainwave. Here it is. The groom loves his bride. That's just the first basic truth, is that the groom loves his bride. Then we look at some passages that teach us about this concept.
Before you even like launch into this, it's kind of designed where you can do this study and these 10 lessons on your own. That's okay. It's okay, yeah. I guess. I'm really excited because you didn't know this before we started recording, but
yeah,
there's already groups of people in my city meeting and going through this as a crew. And I think that's been really helpful. But
that's awesome.
It's really well set up that if you've got a group of people that wanted to go through this, you know, you could do that together. And so as you kind of go through these, just think about that, like, hey, would this be a blessing to my community of faith to walk through these things as a group?
Absolutely. I think that's ideal. Obviously, that's what we did, is that we went through these things and then we'd get together and share and say, okay, that first lesson, the groom loves the bride. I would expect when you first get together as a group, the fellas to say, I think that the way that I love my bride lacks. This is what I found this week. I felt convicted because of this and this. So we give space for you to consider and respond. You know, there's, you know, write your reaction to this concept. There's direct application. We refer to the relationship between God and his people as the heavenly marriage. And then we look at the earthly marriage, which is, okay, how are you doing with your spouse at reflecting these truths about God? Then there's some discussion points. Let's talk to each other about it. We're not here to browbeat each other. We're a team here. Let's honestly say, how do we do at demonstrating that God loves his bride? Let's talk honestly. There will probably be some hurt that's going to come out as you're talking through these things, which is great. There doesn't have to be condemnation behind it just to say, yeah, this is painful. I'd like it if we worked on this. Great. Good to know. Let's know more about each other. Let's do this better. And then finally, every week, I'm a big believer in memorizing scripture, that we would hide God's word in our heart so that we would not sin against him. So that very first week, the memory verse for The Groom Loves the Bride is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So again, I want that to be ground into us, that how do I love her? With a romantic Hallmark kind of love? No. As God loves his church, as Christ loves the church. So that's our reference point for everything going forward. And then we just keep going with more of these concepts.
And can I kick in? Because if you're hearing this and you're going, I feel like my marriage is doing okay. And it sounds like you guys are saying that I need to maybe dial down the romance and the stuff I like so that I can have a more spiritual marriage. No, I don't want anybody to think that that's what we're after. I actually think that if you walk through some of this stuff, you might find that we're not after an ooey-gooey Hallmark card, like you said, but a lot of those like positive feelings come when things are open and she feels loved, and then she suddenly goes, man, he really loves me. I'm going to start respecting him quite a lot. And some of the things that you might think, well, we're just not connecting, you know, I'm not doing enough romantic overtures for her, and so it's not going well. Well, I think you'll actually find out that some of that stuff just naturally resolves when you bring a marriage into God's order. So don't hear what we're saying and go, that sounds like we're turning my marriage that I want to amp up like the fun and romance component of into a Sunday school class.
Yeah.
That's not really it.
Fair point. Yeah. I would agree with you that the well-working marriage will have more of that. What I want to come against is what our goals are. Like, my ultimate goal is to please my father and be living in the way that he set it up. I think it results in all kinds of wonderful stuff, including a more romantic life than a Hallmark store could provide. Here's a little secret for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things get added to you as well. So that's our overview of the bridegroom study. We want you to have it. We'd like for you to use it to enrich your marriage, hopefully to enrich your spiritual community. Mark, tell the people how they get it.
All right. So for the next 24 hours, I'm just kidding. This is evergreen. So we get a lot of people that jump into the podcast and they tell me, you know, I started at the first ones. And I'm like, if you're still here now and you started at the first ones, you have some endurance because those first ones were bad. But you might be listening to this episode in 2027. That's a possibility. As far as I can project from where I sit in 2024, this will still be how you access the study. So on the homepage, depending on if you're on a phone or a desktop, you scroll down a bit and you see
abrahamswallet.com.
Yeah, abrahamswallet.com. We secured that domain early in our journey.
Smart.
But abrahamswallet.com, you go there, you scroll down until you see a little join our tribe. And that's kind of our cute way of inviting you to sign up for our email list. You just type your email right there in that form field and hit sign up. And then you will see a thank you page that tells you about sort of what happens next. And if you've done that, you will get a copy of this study in your email shortly after the release of this episode or whenever you sign up. So there's an automatic email that we'll send out and kind of welcome you, orient you for what we've covered and where to find stuff. And in that email, you'll find a link to the bride and groom study. And if you're saying, but Mark, I've already signed up, I also want the study.
Yeah.
We're going to blast all of you that are already on the list with an email that has a link to the study. So those folks who support the podcast have had this study in their hands for a while. You're probably thinking, How did those suckers in Salt Lake City, how are they running small groups? Well, it's because they were insiders. You know, the membership has its benefits. But yeah, everybody will get it now. If you were a supporter of the podcast and that makes you upset, you no longer feel the exclusivity level you had before, I'll just say there's more where that came from. You'll be getting more insider info and more early looks at the things that are coming out.
We'll see you next time.